I want to speak to you this evening about live large. Live large. While I was having my quiet time one morning this past week, I stumbled again upon a verse that we all probably have come to know quite well. And the verse is the prayer of Jabez, which I think we all know pretty well. I want to start this evening with a quote that was made years ago, and I'll tell you now who said this.
You can go to the first slide, Louise. Nearly every man who develops an idea works it up to the point where it looks impossible and then gets discouraged. That's not the place to become discouraged. Now, I want you to listen to it again. Just listen to it very, very carefully. He says, nearly every man who develops an idea works it up to the point where it looks impossible and then gets discouraged. That's not the place to become discouraged. Now, that was said by Thomas Edison. Okay, that's quite a profound statement. Now, Thomas Edison, as you know, was inventor. He invented the light bulb. He invented the phonograph. He invented the movies. He invented a lot of things. And at the time of his death, there were 1,904 patents registered to his name. 1,904 patents registered to his name. What you might not know is that he also invented cement. It was just too costly to develop it at the time. So Thomas Edison was a very clever guy, and he was also the founder of General Electric, which you might also not have known. I didn't know it, surely, but when I read up on it, I found that out as well. Now, in a biblical context, what he says there is so true also in a biblical context. Now, let's read again 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is the prayer of Jabez. The Bible says this. He says, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. God granted him his request. 44 names into the genealogy of the tribe of Judah, the writer stops to single out a single man. And that man's name was Jabez. Now, if you read Chronicles, it's probably the most boring book in the whole Bible, because most of Chronicles, the first nine chapters anyway, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, was the father of so-and-so, was the son of so-and-so, etc., etc., etc. Now, if you read chapter 4, that is the genealogy of the tribe of Judah. Okay? Now, this all came about because in that time, we know that Joshua had conquered the promised land, and this promised land was cut up in chunks. And this tribe got that chunk of land, and that tribe got that chunk of land, and that tribe got that chunk of land. And then they said the scribes must go and they must compile a genealogy so that the genealogy of any specific tribe must never get lost. Now, there's something quite special in that. Nelson Mandela said it a few years ago, just after he was released from prison, and someone asked him in an interview about the future, And he said this, and it's been said many times through the ages, but he said this. He said, a man who forgets his past can never successfully plan his future. We may never, ever forget where we have come from. If we forget where we have come from, we cannot successfully plan where we are going. Our past is important. So they realized that, and they put people there in this position to record these genealogies. And they write these genealogies down. So-and-so was the son of so-and-so was the son of so-and-so. And number 44 in this genealogy of the tribe of Judah, the writer stops to relate a little story, and he does it in two verses. And those are the verses. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. His name means pain. His name means pain. Can you imagine going through life with a name like Pain? Morning, Pain. How are you this morning? You know? Can you imagine what that must be like? And people have done that through the ages. And today, you know, Gerard is a nice name. Oh, you little Gerard. Oh, kitschy little Gerard. Gerard is a nice name. Johnny is a nice name. You know? And we give our children names because it's a nice name. But in Israel, it was much different. It was very, very different. Somebody was given a name specifically because that reflected on who he or she was and also the dream of the parent for that child. Now, I saw something when I lived in Stellenbosch, when my son was at university. I lived in Stellenbosch for 2 years. And I attended a church there. And what I saw there was so wonderful. And it was just so great. But anyway, let me tell you what it was. They have all these parents standing in front with their children. And then they have a slide, a photograph of the child. And then the parents' dream for this child. So they put it up on the screen. And then let's say it's my child, for instance. Then my dream for my child is, and the parents write it down and they record it. They put it up on the screen. And everybody in the church says, "Oh my, this is the dream of these parents for their child." It was such a wonderful thing to do. You know, I'm quite a clever guy, I think, but I never thought of that. In 21 years of ministry, I never thought of doing it. I don't understand it, you know. But anyway, that was fantastic for me. So in Israel, the name of a person was very, very important. Extremely important. Now this man carries this name of Pain. That was his name. And this meant his name also determined his destiny. He would be known by and associated with pain for the rest of his life. So now what does he do? What does he do? That's his name. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the entire Bible. Not like Moses or Abraham or Paul or whoever. Never ever is he mentioned in the Bible ever again. You can go and look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You'll not find his name in the Bible again. But this number 44 in line dares to pray a simple and arguably selfish prayer that changes his life and his destiny forever. Think about that. He's not somebody very important. And yet this man dares to pray a simple and arguably Selfish prayer. What does he pray? Lord, I pray that you bless me indeed. Have you heard pastors say, don't pray that the Lord must bless you. You know, don't be selfish in your prayer life. And this man prays that. He says, God, I pray that you bless me and that you enlarge my territory and that you keep me from harm. So he prays a very selfish prayer. But the prayer that he prays changes his life and his destiny forever. Because what does the last part of that verse say? And God granted him his request. He prayed it, and God gave it to him. God gave him what he prayed for. And isn't that what God promises us? Doesn't God say, ask of me? Doesn't God say, pray? He does. He does. And what we pray and believe, that will change our destiny forever. Just a personal testimony. Years and years ago, Pauline and Cecil will remember him well. Pastor Tini Cronier was a pastor in the AFM. He died recently, Pastor Tini. And we had a special service at our church. And he was the preacher. And he had a very strong prophetic ministry, Pastor Tini. And at the one service he had, he asked for people who wanted to come for prayer. And I was a young pastor then, youth pastor, and I wasn't very intimidated by going forward for prayer. And I went forward for prayer. And he walked past me a few times, and I was really, really freaked out because... Now, he prays for this guy next to me, and he walks right past me, and he prays for this guy. Then he goes and prays for this guy, and then he walks right past me, and he goes and prays for this guy. And I felt absolutely freaked out. Why is this guy doing this? And he came up to me, and he looked me in the eyes, and he said to me, what can I pray for? And I said, I desire a greater anointing of God on my life. And he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, what for? And he turned around and he walked away. And I stood there and I was, for a few minutes, I was like seriously offended. Here I am. I'm sort of, this is my church here. There are like 600 people sitting here. And here's the pastor of the church going for prayer. Now that's already a step in itself. And I ask this man, please pray for me that God will increase the anointing on my life. And he looks at me and he says to me, what for? And he had that way of pulling his face. Hey, you remember? What for? You know? And he turns and he walks away from me. And after I was offended, I got around to thinking about his question. And then after a while, I stood there. And I thought, I will stand here until Jesus comes, but I will be prayed for tonight. And after a while, he came back to me and he smiled at me and he prayed for me. And God really touched my life that night. He did. But I had to answer that question for myself first. Why did I want a greater anointing from God? Why did I want a more special anointing of God on my life? What for? You see, it's about living large. Why do we ask things of God? When we ask for a blessing on our life. Why? What for? When we ask God to enlarge our territory, what for? You see, if we go one step back, right at the beginning of verse 9, he says, and Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. It was a selfish prayer that he prayed, but he didn't pray it for selfish reasons. He was an honorable man. And that's why God gave him what he requested. He prays this. He says, expand my territory. Now remember, the man praying this prayer is described as being more honorable. Now, the word honorable means admirable. It means worthy, praiseworthy, moral, principled, good, respectable, upright, proper, right. That's what the dictionary says about the word honorable. his request, this request of his, was more than just a mere request for a bigger piece of real estate in the promised land. For this man, it was about much more than having, why did I get such a small piece of land, you know? Didn't they know that I'm Jabez, and didn't they know that I can do more, and didn't they know that I can achieve more? Why didn't they give me a bigger piece of land? It was about more than a bigger piece of real estate. Now, Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book. I've got it here. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. You may have read it. I'm going to read a little piece of this book just now. That's why I brought it with me. Bruce Wilkinson puts it like this. After I read this in the week, I dug the book out and I started reading in the book again. He says, Bruce Wilkinson puts it like this. He says, surely I was born for more than this. Surely I was born for more than this. Think about the paradigm. Think about the territory that you live in. Think about your life today. Think about home, extended family, work, community, church. Think about all these things. And don't we easily, very, very easily, get into a position where we think, well, I'm quite flush at the moment. You know, I'm comfortable, I'm doing reasonably well, I'm reasonably happy, and the people around me are reasonably happy, and I'm quite a likable chap. So, you know, things are not really all that bad. And then Bruce Wilkinson says, when you look at yourself and you think about yourself like that, think about these words. Surely I was born for more than this. And that's exactly what he means when he says, Lord, I pray that you enlarge my territory. Not because I want a bigger piece of land, but because I want to make a real difference where I am. So when we pray this prayer, when we ask, Lord, expand my territory, we must be very careful what we pray for. We must be very careful what the reasons behind our prayer is. Because if we pray this for a selfish reason, just because we want a bigger piece of real estate, you know what? God's not interested in giving it to us. But God wants to use each and every one of us to touch more people's lives every single day. Johnny Spur, I don't know why I always get to preach after Johnny. You know, Johnny always, you know. You know, when Johnny was talking this morning, and he was talking about we need to love one another, and all the things that he mentioned there, you talk about your own home, loving your own wife, or loving your own husband, or loving your own children, or loving your own parents. Isn't there always that little bit more that we can do? Isn't there always that little bit of extra investment that we can do? You know, sometimes we think, well, we've got it waxed. It's fine. But you know, when your child starts to struggle as a teenager, and you get so mad you can rip your hair out of your head, and you pray about it and you hear God say, you know what, this is not the time to rip your hair out. This is not the time to become very frustrated and very angry about this. There's a reason why these things are happening. So just give a little bit of extra love. Just show a little bit of extra interest. And then before you know it, they threw the phase. And you realize that you have done more. You know what that is? It's expanding your territory. It's just doing that extra bit so that God can help you to reach a place where things turn out right. Think about extended family. How involved are we with our extended family? You know, some people have massive extended families. Now, I have a very small extended family. But how involved are we there? Does God not want us to get to a place where we pray, Lord, expand my territory so that I can have a greater influence in my extended family? Think about work. You know, we go into work in the mornings and we slog it out for 8 or 9 or 10, or if your name is Dale, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. And then I often think to myself, is this what it's all about for me? Surely I was born for more than this. I go in and I slog it out and I chase target after target after target. And at the end of the month, I breathe a sigh of relief and I go with great pride into the CEO's office and I say, Greg, we're 1.5 million over target this month. And the next morning he walks in and he says to me, Dale, he puts his hands in his pockets and he says, Dale, do you want to know what our target for the new month is? And the target for the old month is all forgotten. And then often I wonder, was I not put here for more than this? And I need to pray that prayer every single day. God, enlarge my territory. It's not about more real estate. It's about expanding my influence where I am. Where you are in your work situation. You go and you slog it out from the morning till the night. Does God not want you to do more than that? Is God not saying, dare to ask me to expand your territory? Think about community. How involved are we in the community? Johnny said it this morning. You know, he said there are many people in the church, he doesn't even know where they live. And I'm just as guilty as you. We don't even know where they live. How can we make a real difference if we don't even know where they live? But we need to start to pray, God, expand my territory. And we must listen to God when he says, you know what, this part of the community, in this part of the community, in that part of the community, that's where you need to expand your influence. Because you know, when a community has exhausted all its wisdom, you know what they often do? They turn to the church and then they say, do something. When they don't know what to do about crime and about drug abuse and about all those things, they often turn to the church and they say, do something. But we need to start to pray the prayer, God, expand our territory so that we can let our influence be felt much wider than the walls of this church, much wider than the walls of our homes or our jobs or where we are. We need to pray that prayer. God, expand my territory. And even in church, the same applies. Jabez Payne wasn't a very important man. He was number 44 in the list of genealogy. But Jabez knew that he was born for more than this. And that's why he prayed this prayer to God. If we go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 to 57, verse 53 to 57, when Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everybody was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. These people dared to say, he's just the carpenter's son. Jesus wasn't just anybody. He was the Son of God. And these people became offended and they said it to his face. You are just the carpenter's son. Was he intimidated by those words? No. Why? Because Jesus knew he was born for more than that. He knew that he was born to die on the cross to take away the sins of the world. He knew that he was the redeemer of mankind. And Jesus, I believe, prayed this prayer every day of his life. Father, expand my territory. Because if you think about it, in the days in which we live, the world is a very small place. I can put on my computer and I can talk to my son who is 13,000 kilometers away. I can look at his face. I can talk to him for an hour. It's easy. It's like falling off a chair. Easy. I can type in Thomas Edison in the Google search bar, and 20 seconds later, I can read anything about Thomas Edison, what he had for breakfast, everything. The world has become a very little place these days. But in biblical times, the world was a massive place. A massive place. And if it's easy for us to get stuck in our comfort zones, if it's easy for us to get stuck in a place where we're just happy with what we do and how we do it, how easy must it have been for those people? Because just to go to the next town, for me to go to Paul, takes 30 minutes. Some people 10 minutes, but 30 minutes. It's easy. It's fast. I go to Cape Town. I drive to Johannesburg. It takes 15 hours. I'm there. Can you imagine what it must have been like? How intimidating it must have been for the people in biblical times to pray, Lord, please expand my territory. It meant like serious hard work. But I believe Jesus prayed these words every single day. And if you think about where the Spirit led him, where he traveled inside of Israel, and the people he touched, the dead were raised, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak, the lame could walk. It wasn't just by chance that Jesus did all these things. He was led by the Spirit to do all these things, to all these places. And I believe that Jesus prayed this prayer every single day. Father, expand my territory. Allow me to expand my influence to more and more and more people. And we need to pray that prayer. I want to read, it'll just take a few minutes. I just want to read this to you. I read it this afternoon, and it was such a blessing to me. You know, we sometimes think, oh, you know, I need to do such great things for God, and we need to do great things for God. But I want you to listen just to two accounts that Bruce Wilkinson writes in this little book of his. If you've still got this book, just grab it, to take it out one day, and just read it again. Moving the Boundary Lines. During a week-long speaking engagement some years ago at a large Christian college in California, I challenged students to pray the Jabez prayer for more blessing and greater influence. I suggested that the 2,000-member student body set a ministry goal worthy of a college of its stature. Why not look at the globe and pick an island? I suggested. When you've picked it out, put together a team of students, charter an airliner, then take over the island for God. Some students roared. Some questioned my sanity. But nearly everyone listened. I persisted. I had been to the island of Trinidad and seen the need, I told them. You should ask God for Trinidad, I said, and a DC-10. I had no immediate takers. Still, the challenge prompted a flurry of stimulating conversations. I found most students eager to do something meaningful with their time and talents, but unsure where to start. They usually made a point of listing their deficiencies in skill, money, courage, or opportunity. I spent much of that week asking a question. If the God of heaven, I want you to listen to this, if the God of heaven loves you infinitely and wants you in his presence every moment, and if he knows that heaven is a much better place for you, then why on earth has he left you here? With student after student, I pressed home what I understand to be a biblical answer to that question. Because God wants you to be moving out your boundary lines, taking in new territory for him, maybe an island, and reaching people in his name. God was at work. A week after I had returned home, I received a letter from a student named Warren. My son's name is Warren. He told me that he and his friend Dave had decided to challenge God's power and ask him to bless them and enlarge their borders. Specifically, they had prayed that God would give them the opportunity to witness to the governor of the state that weekend. Throwing their sleeping bags in Warren's 63 Plymouth Valiant, they had driven the 400 miles to the capital to pound on doors. The letter continued. By Sunday night, when we got back from Sacramento, this is what had happened. We had expressed our faith to two gas station attendants, four security guards, the head of the U.S. National Guard, the director of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare for the state of California, the head of the California Highway Patrol, the governor's secretary, and finally, the governor himself. As God is making us grow, we are thankful and scared stiff. Thanks again for your challenge. That was just the beginning. Over the next few weeks and months, a vision for more territory swept the campus. By fall, a student team headed by Warren and Dave had mounted a major mission project for the following summer. They called it Operation Jabez. The objective? Assemble a team of self-supported student workers, charter a jet, and you guessed it, fly to the island of Trinidad for a summer of ministry. Then that is exactly what they did. 126 students and faculty signed up. By the time the jet took off, fully loaded from Los Angeles, Operation Jabez boasted trained teams ready to minister through drama, construction, vacation, Bible school, music, and home visitation. The college president called Operation Jabez the single most significant student ministry venture in the college's history. Two students had asked God to enlarge their territory, and he did. One little prayer had remapped boundary lines and impacted the lives of thousands of people. Isn't that a great story? Isn't that a great story? We need to ask God to enlarge our boundaries. Now, this is a big thing. It's about chartering a DC-10 jet. It's a big thing. But sometimes it's not so big. Sometimes it's just reaching a single person. Listen to this one. The Jabez prayer is a revolutionary request. Just as it is highly unusual to hear anyone pray, God, please bless me, so it is rare to hear anyone plead, "God, please give me more ministry." Most of us think our lives are too full already. But when in faith you start to pray for more ministry, amazing things occur. As your opportunities expand, your ability and resources supernaturally increase too. Right away, you'll sense the pleasure God feels in your request and His urgency to accomplish great things through you. You see, this really is such an important thing to pray. He tells another story here that I just want to read. I would just want to read to you very, very quickly. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he tells that he was on a scouting mission and traveling on a boat years and years ago. And then he says, instead of taking the guided tour, I walked around the streets of the little port talking to the Lord. "Lord, I feel so homesick and weak," I prayed, "but I want to be your servant. Even now, enlarge my borders. Send somebody who needs me." Entering a small square, I took a table at an outdoor cafe and ordered a cup of coffee. A few minutes later, I heard a man's voice behind me. "You on the cruise ship?" I looked up to see a young man walking toward me. "Yes, I am," I said. "How about you?" He said he was an American living on the island, then asked if he could join me. His name was Terry. Within minutes, he was pouring out his story. As it turned out, his marriage was on the rocks. In fact, that day was the end. His wife had said she would be gone by evening. "You know what I was thinking by that time, don't you? Okay, Lord, I think this is my appointment, and I accept. Do you want your wife to leave?" I asked. He said no. "Open to a couple of ideas?" I offered. When he said yes, I knew it was the Lord's confirmation of another Jabez experience. I spent the next hour talking through several key biblical principles for a happy marriage. Terry hadn't heard of even one before. By the time I was done, Terry was so anxious to give his new insights a chance to save his marriage that he jumped to his feet. "Listen, Terry," I said, "I really want to hear how things go for you and your wife today. Whatever happens, come to the boat before we sail and tell me, okay?" Terry agreed, waved, and was gone. By that evening, everyone was back on board. I walked the deck waiting. I was still lonely, kind of frustrated, and starting to second guess what had gone on inside Terry over coffee. When the captain ordered the final blast announcing our departure, I walked to the back of the ship where the crew was busy throwing off the stern lines. And there, running toward us along the shore, came a young couple hand in hand. When they got close enough to see me hanging over the rail, they started yelling, "It worked! It worked! We're together!" I was so exhilarated at what God had done that I felt I was floating without the help of the ship. God made an appointment for that young man and me, and he had been bringing us toward each other from the moment I had asked for a larger life in His service. It's such a wonderful testimony. And when I read these testimonies this afternoon, I thought, you know, I just want to share it with you as well. Just to encourage you and just to say, you know, we can so easily just get caught in our paradigm. We can so easily get caught in the life that we live. And the wheels of the bus go round and round. So easy. So easy. And we all get stuck there. But remember, number 44. Prayed a prayer. Dared to pray a prayer, and God answered him. God gave him his request. And the question I want to leave with you this evening is this: are you prepared to pray that prayer? God, I pray that you bless me indeed. I pray that you enlarge my territory. Are you prepared to pray that prayer? You know, we walk past people every single day of our life, and little do we realize that there are people out there who really, really need God. People out there who are at wit's end. And I know that there are many, many such testimonies of people who are at wit's end. And just because someone had prayed, enlarge my territory, enlarge my sphere of influence, God set up a divine appointment and someone's life was changed forever. We can go about our busy lives so easily. Go into work in the morning, put our head down, and work for 9, 10, 11, 12 hours sometimes. And somewhere in all of those people, there's somebody who just needs a kind word. Somebody who just needs someone to pray. Somebody to care. And we miss it. I miss it. I know I do. I miss it often, 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 often. What do we pray when we do pray? We pray about lots of stuff. But let's pray about the basic things as well. And I want to close just to read the prayer of Jabez to you again. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to just listen to this. He prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. I want to close with this verse that Jesus says, Matthew 7 verse 7, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we could just spend a little time together just sharing your word this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can dare to live large. Thank you, Lord, that we can dare to ask you to enlarge our territory, not for selfish gain, not for all the reasons that people want enlarged territories, but so that we can have a greater influence on those people around us. Father, thank you that we could spend some time with your word this evening, and I pray that in this week that lies ahead, that you will help us to realize that we are born for more than what we have become accustomed to. Father, I pray that you will use each of us during this coming week and months and years that lie ahead. Help us to realize, Lord, that because we are breathing means that you still have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I pray, God, that you will use us wherever we go. Give us boldness to pray this prayer. Lord, I pray that you will bless me indeed, and I pray that you will enlarge my territory. We ask this in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.